Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Father, this afternoon, let your love flow in the congregation. If there's anybody here who is not convinced about your love, let that person be convinced today. If there's anybody who has not experienced your love, let your love be experienced today. I pray that none of us will leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For the few minutes we have, I know if you were watching African Moods, you'll sit down all night. But when you come to church, it's like something is bites you, your skin is scratch you. I understand that. And so I won't preach for a long time. I know if you had gone to a club, you go 10 p.m. and come 4 a.m. 6 a.m. When you come to church, 10 o'clock and it's 12 o'clock, you get scratched, scratchy teeth. No problem. It's okay. Because I know you are not used to these things. So I'll preach for just a few minutes. I'll give you an opportunity. We'll take our offering and then we'll be out of America. KLM is coming. British Airways is just around the corner to take you out of here. Amen. I want to talk about God this afternoon. I want to talk about God. Hallelujah. There are so many people in your life. There are so many things that you are surrounded by. But I want to talk about one greatest person called God. Turn to your neighbor and say, the pastor wants to preach about God. Now, God is very unique. You get it? God is very unique. God is very special. There's nobody like God. The struggle and the issue with us in life is that many things and many people try and compete for what God needs in our lives. And so most of the time, for many years of our lives, our focus does not turn to God because there's a lot of things that crave for our attention. We are either looking for money, or we are looking for happiness, or we are looking for satisfaction, or we are looking for something that will add something to our lives. But the real deal in this world is God Almighty Himself. The Bible says, if you have God, you have life. I said, the Bible says, if you have God, then you have life. It is not when you have money that you have life. But money presents itself in such a way that money wants you to believe and feel that if you have it, then you have life. But it's not about money. And so, this afternoon, I want to talk about God. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 28. Acts chapter 13 and verse 28. And this God, welcome to our John 3:16 service. Yeah, and you are here not by accident. Tell you, nobody, you are not here by an accident. Amen. The Bible says that, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. I want to talk about God. The Bible says that though they did not find any cause in Jesus to kill him, they couldn't find. There was no reason why Jesus should die. The Bible says that they desired Pilate that he should be slain. So you see that it's like everything is against Jesus. Everybody is against Jesus. But then the next verse says in verse 29, the next verse says that, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. Which means that they tried to kill him and they succeeded in killing him. Everything went against Jesus, the Son of God.
All eyes were turned away from him. Nobody could speak for him. Nobody could say anything for him. And you see, you may be here in such an experience or such a life where nobody seems to understand you, where nobody seems to believe you, where nobody seems to accept you. But the Bible says in verse 30, that the Bible says, but God. There's a difference that this God brings into the equation. I said there's a difference this God brings into the condition. There's a difference that God brings into whatever you are going through. But God. I want to introduce you to the God Almighty whom we serve. The God who has brought us thus far. Now, God is a God who takes us on journeys. And I have experienced, and I'm still experiencing it. I came into Guyana 19 years ago with my wife and two little girls. 19 years later, look at my story. I said, 19 years later, look at my story. The element of change, the element of difference is God. I don't know what you're looking for in this world. I don't know what you're looking for in this life, but I want to introduce you the element that brings change, the element that takes you forward, the element that takes you higher, the element that takes you up. That element is God. But God raised him from the dead. The things that everybody wished him, God took him out of it. God, that's the Bible. God, he doesn't sleep. If he sleeps, you will die. That's why he doesn't sleep. He doesn't even slumber. If you see, if you were put to watch us, you will sleep all day. Oh yeah. You know the security guards. I tell you. You see, thieves have become so sophisticated that you have to pray that thieves don't come into your house. Because no matter the security cameras you put around, you see the guy on the footage of the guy breaking in and entering and taking away, you can't see his face. You can't do nothing. You can take the footage and take it to Interpol. The only person who makes a difference is not Grail, it's God. It's not security cameras. It's God. It's not your fence and your barbed wire. It's God. But God raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says, I have planted. Apollos watered. But God gave But God. Let me tell you, you can go to school. You can get the degrees, the highest of it. You can get a good job, but it's God who prospers you. It is God who prospers at the end of the day. I'm telling you. Yeah. The Bible says, I have planted. I mean, you can't say, I didn't have a soil. I didn't have a, I have a farm. I planted. I watered. But if God had not brought the increase, I wouldn't have seen anything. I'm introducing God to you. You may not know God today, but he's a factor that makes a great difference in your life. There's a bus driver here. The color of your bus is blue. I don't know whether it's here or it's not here. God wants to make a difference in your life. I want to pray for you. There's a bus driver here. I'm saying it again. There's a bus driver here. The color of your bus is blue. God wants to bless you and make a difference in your life. It is the blessing of the Lord that make it rich. The element that makes you rich is God. It's not hard work. It's not opportunities. It's God. John chapter 3 and verse 16. It is so popular. That scripture is so popular. Scripture is so popular.
You should have lunch today. You get big by. You know, I've been looking for you, buddy. I've been looking for you all over the place. I walk and walk all over. Yeah. The people are excited to see you, I'm telling you. Yeah. And this is your home, you know that. Anywhere you go, this is your home, I'm telling you. Yeah. I just built a bigger mansion and we moved here, but this old house is there. We gave it to the uncle. Uncle is there. Father is right here. The Bible says, For God, so loved the world. Everybody knows this scripture. If you don't know this scripture, it means you didn't go to Sunday school. And I blame your parents. Almost everybody knows John chapter 3, verse 16. Even the Muslims know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm talking about God. There's nobody who has loved so many people but God. I've been around for a while. Our love is very limited. Our love is run out. Melissa. Yeah, the love is for you and your children. It doesn't go beyond that immediate circle. Many of us don't love more than X step away from us. But I'm talking about a creator, the creator, who has loved a number of people that nobody can love. Even our politicians and our pride, they don't love us. Is it one thing I wonder about politicians is when they always think that they know what we want. They don't know. They do things that they think is good for the country. They don't ask us. There's no referendum. There's nothing. They just do things. There's no opinion as to should we allow, how many soundtracks should we allow in the country? I met a guy the other day. He said he has 7. At 7 soundtracks. Yeah, one man. I said, wow. 7 soundtracks? Because everybody has realized that once you bring in a soundtrack, you can make it. Once I buy a soundtrack, you make it. There's a young lady that we buy wood from. The other day she called us and said she has bought a soundtrack. So not only should we order wood, but she also has soundtrack to bring sand. There's nobody you can ever come across, including the young girl that you are so much in love with, who can love more people than God. Have you ever come across somebody who loves everybody in this world? Every single... Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world. Just a few of us, a few tens of what, 100,000, how many people? We don't like ourselves. We don't like ourselves. We don't give everybody the same opportunity. We don't want everybody to prosper. We just want a few people around us to prosper. Only your family, only your immediate circle.
But there's only one person who has loved everybody, who wants everybody to do well. He wants everybody to prosper. And that person is called God. I don't know how he does it. But he wants everybody to do well. He loves the world. Oh yeah. Solomon tried. It ended at 1,000. He couldn't go beyond that. Yeah. He was trying to be like his creator. Are you with me? So God loved the greatest number of people ever. You talk about how many people somebody can love. We are all forced to love one or two people. If you dare love somebody else, you'll be in trouble. Oh, yeah. The love must be for one person. And one person only. Yeah. If you are not blessed, you marry a woman who is jealous, who is insecure. Oh, Jesus. Even your house girl, he will accuse you of sleeping with your house girl. When my father became older, and my mother also became older, and she wasn't amused at every instruction or every desire. You know, those days, a wife is always at the beck and call of her husband. You know, the old good days. Whatever you want, your wife will do it. Wherever you send her, she will go. Now? Why can you also not go? Die, die. Why can you also not go? Yeah. So when my mother got to the stage where she was older and she was no more amused at my father's requests and desires and all of that, my father got into the house, a house help. As for house help, she will always be at the beck and call of the master. So when my father says he wants to eat fufu today, my mother will say, who's going to pound the fufu? Who got time with all them things now? All them children, they grow up and they gone. Who got time for? There's nobody here. So then my father will say, okay, the house girl will pound. So the house girl will do it. I mean, pounding fufu is not nice at all. Eating fufu is nice, but pounding it is not nice at all. Then he'll get what he wants. It came to a point where my mother said, I can't sit down and mold the fufu. So there's something, you know, that many of the skilled women in Ghana, for example, they know how to pound and fix it at the same time. So they sit down and they do the pounding. It's a skill. Yeah. He says that the house help will do that. Just because my father wants to eat fufu. Yeah. It got to a point that my mother wanted to get rid of the girl out of the house. Because my father used to call, hey, come. Go get me that. And then she will move. Go take this money. Go and buy me that. And she will go. And he began to ignore and avoid the big woman in the house. So the big man realized that the love is going, is somebody's coming to take some of the love. So we got to get rid of this girl. She hated her without cause. All that she was doing was to make the man that she says she's loved happy. No. You can't do that. I won't do it and you can't do it. Your friend of Konongo Kaya. There are some people, they won't carry it, but they don't want anybody else to also carry it. But God is not like that. He has loved the greatest number of people. Count the number of people in the world. Billions of people. God loves everyone. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The world includes Europe. Includes America, South and North and South America. The islands, the Pacific, the Caribbean, Africa, Asia, all over. God loved everybody.
Why don't you want to get to know this God? Number two, God gave the greatest gift ever. Some of you have never gotten a gift in your life before. For God so loved the world, the greatest number of people ever, that he gave his only begotten son. God is the only one who has ever given his best gift ever. I've seen all the people who profess they love me in this church, whose children have done bad things against me. I mean, hardly would anybody come and say, I beg you, I'm coming with my child to come and beg you. Hardly would you see that. Hardly would you see that. They secretly love their children that they can't correct them. If you love somebody, and if you believe that God has given you a gift in the person of your pastor, and then anybody around you does anything wrong, you say, hey, not only have you done something wrong, come with me. I want to go and just plead your case for you. Hardly would people do that. I've been in this church for many years. I've been a Christian for so many years. Serving the Lord and working in the church. Hardly that a woman would take her child and say, come. Abigail, true or false? Would take her child and say, come, let's go. You can't do that to the bishop. I may say the thing to you openly. They will never respond. I'm giving you a recent case. Will never move. Will never. You see, it's only God who has ever given the best gift ever. Best gift ever. In his only begotten son. Yeah. He gave him up. He gave him to be a sacrifice for our sins. Because he knew that that was the only thing, that was the best gift ever for all of us. Oh yeah. What gift have you received in this life? A little $20? $100? $100? I'm sure some of us, if you get $100, you'll be very excited. Because the bishop, God is good. God is moving. But just 20,000 Guyanese dollars. God has moved. You know, when God moves, you know what he does. He does big things. Big things. But this God, you must get to know this God today, because he's the one who has loved the greatest number of people. He's the one who has given the greatest gift ever. He gave it up. He doesn't keep it. He didn't keep it. Because God would have watched all of us die one by one and go to hell. He said, you know what? If he takes my only begotten son, I will give him up. And he gave his only begotten son. Amazing. Amazing. I mean, the angels, I don't know whether God has a wife or not, but I'm sure. I mean, like Abraham. That's why God loved Abraham. Because when he told Abraham, give me your only begotten, your only child. Abraham said, no problem. I'll give him to you. How many of us will give up our children, like I said, even for correction? You will not. How many of you children have not been disrespectful here in the church over the years? It doesn't move you. It doesn't shake you. Because you love your disrespectful child so much. Oh yeah. And he's not your only child. There's a set of disgustful ones around too. Yeah, all the mothers, they know. All the mothers, I'm preaching about some of the mothers, and they know, they themselves know who I'm preaching about. They know. I have no apologies about what I'm saying. I'm saying something that has been done to me. He who feels it knows it. They are fanning they're fanning themselves as I'm preaching. Yeah, feeling hot. No, they will not lead them. I mean, they love them with whatever they have. But God is the only one who was perfect. The Bible says it. It says that they tried, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. And they crucified him. child. There's so many things wrong with a child, and you still love the child. Goldie, it's amazing. He gave us the greatest gift ever. People love Jesus. A day like this in Israel many, many years ago, people took palm branches. They began to sing and call him Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People are in love with Jesus. People admire Jesus. And that is the same gift he gave away. He gave up that he should die for you and I to receive life. God is the only one who has loved the greatest number of people ever. He's the only one who has given us the greatest gift ever. And then, the last one, as I close, is God is what? God shows the greatest love ever. God shows the greatest love ever shown to anyone. You know what God says? He says, whosoever believes. Whosoever? Whosoever? What's the meaning of whosoever? Do you know the meaning of whosoever? Let's check in the Bible. I like checking the Bible. Whosoever. Whosoever means including all forms of declension. Is it a primary word that means all, any, every, the whole? The Greek word is passa, P-A-S-A. And that's the meaning of it. It means anyone, everyone, as many as, thoroughly, whole, whosoever. Is there anything that everybody is allowed to get access to? Is there anything? Even as simple as accommodation and what? And food. It's not everybody who has accommodation and food. The basic need, the human right, basic human right to accommodation, shelter, and food. It's not everybody who has food and shelter. It's everybody. You don't have to go far. We can go to Border Market and you see. We can go to Jubilee Park and you'll see. Jubilee Park has become not just a place of circles. It has also become somebody's place of abode. If they come and ask them, what's your address? They say, Jubilee Park. Lot 2, Jubilee Park. Vagrant scheme. There is not a single thing that exists in this world that everybody can have access to. Is that what American visa is about? That anybody who goes into the embassy will get a visa? That anybody who goes to housing will get the land? That anybody who goes to Yokohama auto sales will get a vehicle? That anybody who goes to the bank will get money? Anybody who goes to the supermarket will walk out with groceries free of charge? Anybody can send their child to a Queen's College? No, they test your brain. They test your brain. They test your ability to know mathematics, English, social studies, science. And then they give you a mark. That if you don't go beyond this mark, you go to a very bad school. The reason why many of you didn't go to King's College is that it's not for everybody. Especially you. That's what they are telling us. The reason why you didn't go to Bishop's High School, that the people have put in some systems that you don't qualify. Oh yeah. Now one day I went to a particular hotel. When you get to the reception, you think that you are abroad. Yeah. It's not every color that is accepted everywhere. That's the world we live in. That is the kind of system we have grown up to be inside. Everything is not everybody. You have money, you want to buy a car, you can't buy a car that is 19,000, 2,000 cc and above.
It's not for everybody. Unfortunately, it's not for everybody. If your vehicle is 2,000cc and above, oh, Jesus, they will milk you like they are milking a cow. You pay a lot of duty, excise, VAT, and whatever. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, even after 1,500cc, it's not everybody who can own a car 1,500cc and up. Yeah. So many people, they drive vehicles 1,500cc and lower. Yeah. As for that one, you know, tax will be about a million or something. You know, so, and then you buy it for $200. 40,000. You buy the car for 40,000 Guyanese dollars in Japan. You ship it for 450,000. And then you pay duty of 1 million. So you can actually tell people's status by the type of vehicle they drive. Yeah. That's why if you get a chance to drive a big car, you see that people on the road, when they stop you, those who wear black and blue, when they stop, they say, "Yeah, boss man." A white man will never call you boss man. White man will never, white police officer will never, he will never respect you than the law respects you. I remember that fateful morning. I went for all night, Friday night, prayed throughout the night till Saturday morning, 5 a.m. I was going home. I was just dropping a couple of church members home. And I remember I was driving a Volvo 440 many years ago. And my fog light, they were on, including my headlight. Because at 4, 5 a.m., it was still a little dark. I passed a police vehicle. Then just about one minute or 30 seconds later, I look into my driving mirror. I saw the police car turn around and then start following me. When they start following you, when the police car is following you, you will, there's the light bar at the top of the vehicle. There is a scrolling part. When they say, "Police, stop. Police, stop." They don't do, no. The light will be flashing. Normally the light doesn't flash. That's the difference I see there and here. Yeah. Here, the light flashes all the time. So, you don't know whether it's emergency or not. There, the light only flashes when it's an emergency. So, he's behind you. His light is flashing. Police, stop. You can't miss him in your driving mirror. And when you look at him in your driving mirror, you see it. It's like the information is translated into your mirror. Police, stop. So, you got to stop. I stopped. And he got out of the car, he came around, and he asked me, "Where's my driver's license?" I gave it to him. Then he asked me, "Why is my fog lights on?" I said, "Oh, shoot. I didn't even notice." He said, "It's 75 euros. Yeah, to have your fog lights on when there's no fog. It's an offense." Can you believe it? Do you know how many people be arrested in this country? The car has come with two lights and maybe four lights, but you have also planted another LED light in front of the car. And there are two on the top of it. Amazing. Everything is not for everybody in this world. I'm sure you've lived long enough to understand what I'm talking about. Tivon, isn't it? You've lived a little longer to understand what I'm saying. It's not everything that is for you. In fact, it's just a few things in this country that is for you that you can have access to. The rest, you got to lick bottom. Lick bottom before you get access to it. But there is somebody called God. The Bible says that he loved the world so much that he has given and has offered us his only begotten son. And he's not saying that only black people are welcome.
You see, when I look into the congregation, you make me feel like it's only black people who are welcome to this church. I see one nice white woman out there. It's nice to see a white. Is it white? White? Yeah. I think it's white. Looks like a white woman. Portuguese. Yeah. Obrigado. Guyanese. Portuguese. Wow. Guybrush. That's Guybrush. Yeah, nice. I wish I had 200 of such in the church. No, because we are making it look like the church here is only for dark colored people. No, it's your fault and my fault. Because this world has created a certain evil that where you see a few black people going, some other race wouldn't go there. Where you see a place where a few straight-haired people going, black people wouldn't go there. No matter how good the place is, I ain't going because it's just a set of black people who go there. God is saying that He loves us so much. He has given us the greatest gift ever. And then He's actually inviting anybody to take advantage of the gift He has given. Whosoever. There's nothing in this world that is for whosoever. There's nothing. Tell me. Let's argue. Bring your argument. Is there something that is for everybody? Oh, yeah. No. You see, it's not like there's a big one Guyana office. And I understand what I'm saying. Anybody can come and say whatever. The true thing is that the only place that the gift of God is available for everybody is in the church, is in the kingdom of God. It's only God who offers us everybody the same thing. You see, one day I was in New York. I was just taking a little walk. And I saw U.S. Army Recruitment Center on a bridge, the Grand Concourse in the Bronx. It's like a nice little office of the U.S. Army. That's where they recruit people for the army. It's recruitment center. And it's just one of many. If one Guyana was a reality, we would have recruitment centers for people to go there and get service to what Guyana has to offer. I don't know if you understand what I just said. That is why the church must be very active in outreach, in busing people to church, in going to the areas and the neighborhoods and announcing that, let us go to a place where everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. And it's not by talk, it's by the walk. Everybody is welcome here. You should see how we sit behind the scenes and we look at people's names and we mention people's names and we say, where is this person? Where is that person? Where is this person? I said, why didn't you invite somebody? You should see how we sit behind this. This thing is just the face. After this whole thing is over, some of us will be here till the night trying to work behind the scenes to ensure that there's not a single person who feels that he doesn't belong here. Because God so loved the world that He gave. And He said, whosoever, boy, girl, whatever you can think of, is welcome. We live in a world where not everybody is welcome. I remember I had a church member way back in Europe. After church, I was standing in front. And then people will come and talk to me. She'll be in the line. Whenever it's her turn, everybody goes home. Because they say, you know what? This girl, she's not finishing now. And it's true. She will take my time for hours. You know, church members, people don't have time to wait. So they all beat out. So everybody after church, anybody who wants to see me, they try to beat the time and speak to me before she comes. There are always people like that who seem to have or need a bit more of attention than everybody else. But they are also welcome in the church. Stand to your feet, somebody. Give Jesus a big hand clap.
close your eyes. This afternoon, before we leave, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is God who has loved the world. That nobody has loved the greatest number of people. It is God who has given his only begotten Son. Nobody has given the greatest gift ever. It is God who has opened the door for everybody, everyone who believes, to receive his Son. I'm sure there's somebody here this afternoon who needs God. Who needs God a little more than maybe the ordinary person. And that who needs God, that is why you came here today. This is the place where God is affecting lives. There's no place. You can't go to the Chinese supermarket and meet God. You can't even go to our secondary schools and meet God. You can't go into your house and meet God. But there's a place called the church where when you come, God stretches his hand towards you and invites you into a relationship with him. You are here today. You are not saved. You are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And this God is giving all of us the opportunity. So you won't come and say that God doesn't love me, God doesn't like me. He loves all of us. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to make him the Lord of your life today. If you are here like that, you believe in your heart that you need God, then he's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's asking you to open your heart to him. He will come into your life. He will come into your heart and he will change your life and make you a brand new person. God is calling you today. Maybe I should say this. Some of you think that if I was to say baptism, that is when you think about it seriously. Because in Guyana, when you say baptism, people frightened bad. Can't go to www.bigmama.com no more. But it's not baptism. This is the main thing. How do people get married? Is it not by saying and receiving words? Then the priest will say, by this I pronounce you. It is what you say that gives you a new life. That gives you entrance into the kingdom of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 9, I think verse 9 and 10, that they are coming. Clap for all those who are coming. I think the message is getting better and better. Oh yes. You should not come here and go to hell when you die. You should not. You should not. I know this is the number of people God is expecting. Oh yes. Oh yes. Yeah. I don't feel like people understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like I'm saying. Wow. It's amazing. Oh, I don't think you're excited like the heavens are excited. My God. What a blessing. Some people don't even understand. So you have to help them understand that what a man is talking about will change your life. The Bible says it is with your heart that you believe. And you have to confess unto salvation. If you are going to be saved, you have to confess it. It's not going into a water that makes you a changed person. We are going to put water in one of our reservoirs here and baptize people. You think that is what changes your life? Water from the drain, the trench that he put you inside, that changes your life? No. It is what you say that makes a difference. If you say, I will come and see you tomorrow, and you don't come, it makes a difference in my eyes, isn't it? It tells me who you are. Are you clapping? Many people are coming. What a blessing. 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 Now, John 1:12 says something. The gospel according to St. John says something in the first chapter and the 12th verse. The Bible says that anybody who received him and those who believed in him, he said, he gave them power to become the sons of God.
You are not a child of God until you believe and you confess Jesus. Many people walk around and say, I is a child of God. You liar. You are not a child of God. God does not take care of people or make children out of people's homes. It is people who accept him. They are the ones he calls his children. And so today, you are going to be a real child of God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. All right. So close your eyes. Close your eyes so you'll not be distracted. Lift up your two hands in surrender. If you lift up your two hands, it means you surrender. Who are you surrendering to? To this God. But God raised him from the dead. But God gave the increase. For God so loved the world. He's the one you are lifting up your hands to. And I want you from the bottom of your heart to pray this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I open my heart and I invite Jesus, the Son of the Living God, into my heart and into my life. I give him the keys over my life. And I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. From today, I confess Jesus as the only God, the only Savior, my Savior. And I believe by this simple confession, I am saved. I am born again. My name is now in the book of life. I am now a child of God. I will follow Jesus. I will walk with Jesus for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every single soul here at the altar. What an opportunity. They have not been disobedient to the voice and to your voice. They heard and they responded. Your word says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. These ones have obeyed and they are willing and have given you their lives and their hearts. I pray for grace. It's only grace that can keep them on the road of righteousness for your name's sake. I commit every single soul here at the altar to you. You know every name. You know every address. You know when they were born. You know what they have in their hearts. You have a number of the hairs on their head. You know the number. You are God. You are the one who can be with them where I cannot be with them, where the pastors cannot be with them. You are the one who can speak to them when they cannot hear our voice. You are the one who can speak to them in the night, in the day, and then, oh God, in the morning. I pray that you take over these lives. They have surrendered their lives. You take it, oh God, and let it be consecrated unto you. May these ones never fall back. May they continue on the journey they are starting today. I rebuke, I destroy, I erase the plans of the devil, the plans of the enemy against anyone here at the altar in the name of Jesus. And I attack the curses that are generational, the curses that they are coming out of, The Bible says, for by one sacrifice, they are perfected forever. Them that are being sanctified, let them be perfected, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray the Lord, you indeed be a shepherd unto them, so that they shall not want. Let them love your presence. Let them love your people. Let them love your house. Let them be able to obey you gladly and willingly and out of love. May this be a memorable day in their lives. May they look back 2 months from now, 6 months from now, 1 year from now, and be able to declare that the 24th of March is what made a difference in my life. I bless them. I bless their homes. I declare that as they walk out of here after the service, they are going out with a different spirit. They are walking into their environments with a different spirit. A different light that will shine in darkness, and the darkness will not be able to overcome it. Preserve them all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody said amen.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.